Years ago, I discovered Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was a pretty kick-ass show about a high school junior who went out and killed vampires and demons. Now, I'm talking about the movie, not the TV show. And at the time the movie came out, I had no clue who Joss Whedon was. He wasn't on my radar at that time. But the movie itself was seen as kind of a farcical romp, and it was funny and kind of fun to watch. But by no stretch of the imagination was it a blockbuster, nor was it a intellectually deep or Oscar-worthy material. It was just a fun movie. And it came based on the premise of, as Joss Whedon had said years later, or at least as I had seen an interview with him years later, that you always saw those horror movies where the girl is running away from the monster, and the monster is going to catch her and then eventually kills her. And what if the girl turned around and beat the crap out of the monster and killed the monster? Pretty cool idea. Several years later, we got to see more of that as a television series came out, and it was even better. It had some great elements to it. The characters were really good. The concept kept close to the same as a movie, even without Donald Sutherland playing the role of the Watcher who guides the Slayer. And yes, Donald Sutherland was in the movie. So was Rutger Hauer. He played the bad guy. Buffy did have some problems with it, though. Problems that we cannot ignore all the time, and several people more intellectual than myself have gone over those problems. One of those problems was with the relationship between Buffy and Angel. And Angel eventually spun off into its own series. Now, when Angel first came out, I only watched the first couple of seasons. It seemed a bit more advanced, and it was trying to be Buffy, but not be Buffy, and it was in that same sort of universe. Of course, we're not going to touch on that huge conspiracy theory about the fact that every single Joss Whedon product is in the same universe. Anyway, Angel didn't hit me the same. Now, I've recently watched the entire series again, and I really found myself feeling bad for Cordelia Chase. I think she got the shaft in the end of that entire series. And I know all the background stuff that happened and how things happened along those lines, and I've read different things about how Joss Whedon sometimes automatically writes characters out by killing them off because they've done certain things outside of the TV verse, so to speak. But anyway, Whedon has done other projects. The only other one, I didn't see True Calling. I didn't see many of his other things. I didn't see Dr. Horrible. But I did watch Firefly. It was a space western, and it's got western in it. So anybody that has followed my blog kind of knows that westerns are my bag, especially when they're crossed over with something else, like science fiction or fantasy. But anyway, I loved it. The characters, again, were really, really good. They were all different. They all had flaws in their own special kind of way. And each of the different episodes kind of touched on a different character in a different light. Mostly, the entire series was kind of surrounded by Malcolm Reynolds. And there was a lot of questions that were left hanging with regard to certain characters that even the movie itself did not answer. A number of years have passed, and I've managed to revisit some of those old series, and I do like them. I really do like them, but I have grown and my tastes have changed, and I've also had my eyes opened a great deal more. And all of the really problematic things do a good job of staring me in the face whenever I watch them. There's things in Buffy the Vampire Slayer that just don't ring the same way that they did the first time I watched it. I mean, it was really great when Xander was the one that stood up to Willow. But now it's kind of different, now that I've seen things in a different light. That entire thing with Spike as well, and that part where he nearly raped Buffy, and yet later he still professes his love to her, that was also problematic. That's one of those things where, in the real world, If you were a woman, would you actually want to associate with someone who attempted to rape you? Probably not. More recently, Joss Whedon has been at the helm of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which some people have said is really, really cool because it would have been like, oh, Kevin Smith helming DC Comics Universe stuff had DC Comics actually gone through with creating a universe of some of their second and third tier characters into movie franchises instead of continuously battering us over the head with more Batman and more Superman movies. But Kevin Smith has also gone by the wayside as well and has kind of changed and gotten a bit weird. Anyway, on the one hand, I can see some of his reasons for some of his things that he said with regard to the Marvel Universe. In particular, now that Joss Whedon has left Marvel Studios and will no longer be working in conjunction with them. But there is a big complaint that he's had about Coulson and how Whedon had him killed off in the first Avengers movie. And I can see part of it. Death is a very permanent thing. It happens so rarely in comics. Well, it used to happen so rarely in comics. But on the other hand, the Avengers and all the other Marvel Studios properties are owned by Marvel Comics and Marvel Studios and Disney. We can't forget Disney. If they want to bring back Coulson, then by all means do so. It isn't at all far-fetched to have Coulson, an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and a very well-placed agent at that, one whom Nick Fury said was his right-hand man and his eyes on things. But it isn't at all out of place to see Coulson manage to fake his own death. It was probably even done by orders from Nick Fury himself. Hell, Fury faked his own death in Captain America Winter Soldier. He even explained how he managed to fool everyone. There was no stretch in saying that same method could not have been used for Coulson. And that's all fine and good, but here's where the problem comes in with Joss Whedon. Marvel has put all of this down and has more than one season of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. on television. It's got a huge fan base now. And from the pilot, we have known that Coulson was still alive. He was there. But it's only coming out now that Whedon ignores that aspect of the cinematic universe, or the television universe, rather. He doesn't recognize Coulson still being alive in the cinematic universe. Which is fine, because, you know, it can be kept secret from Iron Man and from Captain America and all of the other heroes that Coulson is still alive. Especially when you consider the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. was taken down in Captain America Winter Soldier. But maybe it was because Whedon left Marvel Studios and is no longer in charge of the filmverse for Marvel. Maybe now he can voice these things. Because Whedon has had the habit of killing off characters and not bringing them back, with the exception of Buffy and Angel. Those are the only two characters that he's ever brought back to life. And you really can't count Cordelia Chase, because she, that was something totally different. But the Coulson train has left the station. Marvel loves it, the fans love it even more, and it's done like dinner. If Marvel wants there to be that connection between television and film, then go for it. We're living in a new age of entertainment, and it's rather exciting. It's cool to see things cross over between the cinematic universe of the big screen movies into the small screen of the television universe. I think it'd be awesome to see something from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cross over into Daredevil, or something from Daredevil cross over into the Marvel Cinematic Movie Universe. Why not? It will connect them. Now all they have to do is make sure they can get the X-Men and the Spider-Man properties fully on board, and they can have that huge Avengers vs. X-Men. Besides, these are comic books, Mr. Whedon. Nobody stays dead in comic books. That, of course, is very evident in the past couple of years, the past few years, where we've seen characters get killed off and then come back. Don't forget, a while ago, Captain America was assassinated only to be brought back to life. A while ago, It was believed for the longest time that Jason Todd in DC was dead. It was believed for the longest time since Crisis on Infinite Earths that Barry Allen, the Flash, was dead. And for quite some time, Oliver Queen in the comics was also dead. Hell, Superman has died and come back to life. Batman has died and come back to life. Captain America was frozen in a block of ice for a long time and then thawed out. Bucky Barnes was thought to have sacrificed himself, the ultimate sacrifice, in World War II, and he was brought back. So nobody stays dead in comics forever, and that should be equally true in the cinematic universe as well.